Welcome to the pilot episode of my new podcast, The Bitcoin Nova. Today, I'm going to be joined by my husband, George, and our best friend, Eugene. We've been on this Bitcoin journey together, and I couldn't think of two better people to start this off. Welcome to the Bitcoin Nova podcast. Today, we have George and Eugene. George is my husband. Eugene is our best friend. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about yourselves?
Would you like me to go first?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm George, the husband. I'm a proud husband of Stacy, the Bitcoin Nova. I'm a father of three. I'm a teacher, and I'm also a singer. Eugene?
I'm Eugene, the friend. George is, I consider George my best friend, but I'm lucky that Stacy's also, I consider her also one of my best friends. We've been known each other now for, yeah, like almost 20 years, yeah. So I'm here to just show the world how amazing Stacy is and how Aww. You guys should listen to her.
Thank you.
She orange-pilled me a couple years ago, so I'm excited to talk about our journey and all the things I've learned from her. So
I'm so glad you guys are here. Thank you so much. You guys are my biggest supporters. I wouldn't be even doing this without you guys. So thank you for not pushing me, but encouraging me to get it started. And I'm so happy to have you guys on first so people can see, you know, the real me and how we interact and just start it off in a good way. So my husband, George, he's a teacher and Eugene is a dispatcher. Can you guys tell us about why you guys got into your careers?
I started off, that's how me and Stacy met, was at community college, at Harper Community College. I didn't know what I wanted to do actually. So took a couple, classes here and there and then took a career development class that, kind of pointed me towards law enforcement. Started doing some research, started working out in like civilian jobs. And then in 2005, I became a 911 dispatcher. I've been doing that since, going on almost 20 years now, which is crazy. But it's always been something, one of the reasons why I chose that career was I always wanted to help people. And, if anything, I wanted to be that calm voice for someone that needed help. So I'm kind of glad that I stuck it out all this time. And, you know, it's been hard, you know, definitely different shifts, don't have a very conventional schedule, so I miss out on a lot of things, but it's something that I truly enjoy, and hopefully I could end my career in the next, 13 years and go on, keep doing, good things in this world.
So I'm George again, for those of you that forgot at home. I became a teacher because it kind of joined the two worlds that I love the most. I love helping people and I love sports. Mm-hmm. So I'm a health and a physical education teacher. And I coached a lot growing up and I played sports my whole life pretty much. And helping people is the main thing. I remember I took a class in college and it was one of those classes where it was a psychology type class where they said, tell us about your first memory. And without even thinking about it, my first memory was helping my older brother by getting him a baseball glove and bringing it to him. So the teacher and everybody was able to break down my first memory as, why is that your first memory? And they're like, well, you must love helping people. And why was it sports? Why was it a baseball glove? Oh, you must be really into sports too. So how those two memories kind of stick out in your brain as how that kind of shapes you. So I teach in a low income area. They're the greatest kids. I've taught in every kind of area from the most affluent areas pretty much in the nation to area now that's about 99% Hispanic, about 80 something percent low income. And the kids are amazing. Kids are very appreciative. They genuinely are excited. If I ever say I need help from anybody, they're the first ones to put their hands up and they're genuinely excited to help. And they really want to, seems like, improve their lives. I'm sure they see their parents struggling. And I'm sure that is something they don't want to have to deal with and then they want to change. So I think me teaching them and me helping them out is something they really appreciate.
Yeah, and you guys are helping me out right now by doing this podcast with me. So it's just, look how helpful you are. You're just jumping up as soon as I'm starting something new, and you're ready to be there for me like always. So
you made the call and we came, you know? That's how it works.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, somebody. If it wasn't literally for support, like if it wasn't for your guys' support, if it wasn't for, you know, the support of my communities on X, I just wanted to bring it back to them for a second because, not back to them, just to them. But I have a couple communities that I'm part of that are amazing, and they've also given me the courage and, the drive to want to go and try something new. And, I'm going to link them down below. But they are the Paranoid Bitcoin Anarchists. That's a group that I am the admin of. And then we have the Bitcoin Army. We have Smash by Saturdays. We have Satoshis. We have it's like a Zapsats group that I will link all of those groups down below. Definitely join those groups if you're on X and you want to either learn more about Bitcoin, engage with other communities that help you, you know, with your passion and with your dreams, you know, because I... When George told me to start this podcast, I was very nervous. And I thought, when am I going to have the time or the energy to do it? But it's amazing how when I have the support of you guys and the communities, it's actually giving me more energy. I actually feel energized instead of it stripping me of energy. It's such a rewarding thing to be able to not only do this because I have such great support, but also to spread the word and to hear real people's stories, like to hear actual Bitcoiners like us, you know, that aren't in the tech space or in the finance space. We're, you know, plebs. We're regular plebs for other plebs. So we're just excited to kind of just talk to more of you and get to know you. And I think with my job, going back to yours, how both of you have this rewarding, you know, you feel good about helping other people. I'm a hairdresser, so I love to make people feel good about themselves. And that's where I feel like when I found out about Bitcoin and I tried to orange pill people, which you were the two first people I ever orange pilled. It's something that you want to do because you care so much about others. You want to share your knowledge because you care, because you want to help others. So I want to tell everybody about how we actually met, if you guys want to go ahead and talk about that.
Well, you actually met before we did.
So yeah, so it's kind of crazy how, I mentioned earlier, me and Stacy met at community college. We ended up having two classes together. We were very friendly with one another, obviously, like, we weren't, like, best of friends, but we always talked when we were in class together and whatnot. That was in 2001, 2002, I believe. So then fast forward to, I want to say 2005, when I met George. I met him through like a mutual friend, they introduced us together, and it was off to the races. Like, instantly became best friends. We'd have like sleepovers. That was awesome. We'd sleep on my futon, and
we'd go to Jewel at 3 a.m.
It was great. It was awesome. So we just hit it off. We're like stepbrothers, basically. Like, we became best friends immediately.
Mm-hmm.
I always say he's the closest thing I have to family here. Anyway, so now that's 2005. We're friends. I remember one day I get either a call or a text message from George that he's started dating someone. He wanted me to introduce them to me. So I remember going to, at the time he was living in Des Plaines. I go to his place and I walk in and it's Stacy there. And I'm like, wait a minute, Stacy? So like instantly we remembered each other. Just so weird, so ironic that he started dating you and I already had known who you were. And it was just so like such a small world. Anyways, long story short, we not to get all into stuff, but we, like, there was a time period where me and George didn't talk for a bit. Then we reconnected in 2014, I believe, and we've been inseparable ever since again. So it's like we picked up right where we left off, which was amazing. I'm so blessed to have you guys in my life. Obviously, your kids are some of the greatest things that's ever happened to me, because like they call me uncle, and I'm just, I always tell people, like, obviously you have two boys and one girl, and like your girl owns my heart. So obviously, like, that's something that I'm really really passionate about, you guys, like, you know, inviting me and being part of your family. So I couldn't be more happy to have you guys in my life. So but yeah, I'm just glad. It's so weird. It's just weird how, you know, fate, you know, destiny, like, just how it brings people together. And just, it's kind of crazy how we were in, like, me and Stacey were in each other's lives, and then how we were brought back through George. So it's just kind of wild how that happens, you know?
Yeah. I definitely believe in fate and destiny. And I think that there's just, I don't believe in coincidences. I think things happen for a reason. And that's why I think starting this podcast at the time that we're starting it is, it's not like something I planned on doing. It's something that just naturally evolved. And just how I feel like Bitcoin naturally evolved, like it was a grassroots movement, and it started off slow and it just grew how it did. I just sort of feel like this is happening in a way where it's not forced. It started with, you know, this network, you know, this network of, you know, how we were brought into each other's lives. It just feels like there's this like energy that kind of brings us together. And I feel like Bitcoin's network is something that when you're using the network, you're part of a group and it brings those people together, just like our communities have. But I feel like our channel is just something that is special because I started with a community first, and that community was encouraging me to create my own podcast after I've appeared on a couple other podcasts, and they were asking me, when are you going to do your own? And I really never thought I would ever do, I never thought I would even appear on a podcast. And it was just because of the encouragement of all of you guys that I did it. And I'm so happy you had me do it, because in my line of work, I talk all the time. Like, being a hairdresser, I talk all day long. I'm used to it. I'm used to communicating with people and understanding them. So this is like a perfect segue into a show like this where I get to talk to you guys more. I feel like I'm just at work. And it's fun because it's about something that we all love and we're passionate about, which is Bitcoin, because it is this network that's changing our future. So I'm just super excited about it. But can you tell everybody about how it felt when you first learned about, like, how was it being around me? You know I get a little crazy and obsessed about things, but when I first found out about it, I definitely took a deep dive, and I talked about it. Like, it was hard for me to not talk about it. So if you could just explain a little bit of how you felt.
Do you want to know how we both met, or do you want to just go over that a little bit?
Well, I thought Eugene kind of came. So, I mean, yes, go ahead. Tell the story about how we met.
You could go with yours. That's cool.
No, you go. You talk about it. This is me. And
I'll do the really quick version of it.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Back in the day, what year was it? 2000?
Your parents met first, right?
Yeah. No, it was, what year was it? 2008?
That sounds about right.
2008, yeah, we started dating. We actually met at the end, close to the end of 2007. We were both.
And everybody, the Bitcoin Genesis block.
Yeah, exactly.
2008. I mean,
that's how I remember it.
That's exactly that. I remember what you were telling me.
I know. Like, I was like, hey, how cool is this? No. So 2007, we both stood up in a wedding. It was my friend from childhood that was getting married, and it was actually Stacy's cousin by marriage. They were getting married. I was an usher at the wedding. Stacy was a bridesmaid. She was standing up. We had a great time together the whole night. It felt like it was actually a normal girl that I could talk to and joke around with and have the girl not be petty and kind of like stuck up.
He kind of picked on me the whole night. And
that's how I knew you were cool, because if somebody could take my joking criticism and all that type of stuff that I like to do when I, you know, it's like the kids when, like, the little boys in school where they pull on the girls' pigtails because they like them, you know. So it's like that type of thing. I could be cheesy and talk to you and be all proper, but we're at a wedding, the liquor's flowing. I'm Rattlestone Sours for Eugene. And so Stacy and I were dancing. Greek dancing, you tend to hold the person's hand because you dance in a circle and everybody holds hands. So I mean, that's instant kind of personal space that's kind of there, you know. So that was cool.
I had no clue. I thought you were just like, oh, he's just such a nice guy that's picking on me. He's so funny.
Little did you know.
Little did you know. Master yeah. plan.
Master.
So, yeah, so that night went great. We actually didn't see each other for a few months. We actually saw each other again at your cousin, our future best man at our wedding. And it was his birthday, and we reconnected there. And ever since then, we traded information, would talk for 4 or 5 hours online back in the day when they had AOL. And what was it? AOL is the messenger?
Some kind of messenger.
Yeah, I'd be talking to her till like 5 in the morning when I would have to wake up at 7:30 in the morning to go to work. So that was cool.
He was getting like,
and yeah, ever since then, we got married and had 3 kids. And yeah, and...
Yeah, and Eugene. It was just even that night was fateful. I feel like going to meet you at that 21st birthday party because I remember you saying that you were at you were working that night and you didn't know I was going to be there. You were invited by my cousin, my second cousins or something, and you were just exhausted, so you almost didn't go. And I had other plans, so I wasn't going to go. But I changed them because I thought it's my cousin's party. It's his 21st. I'm going to be there. So we both just almost didn't go, and we just happened to go that night. And it's just that was fate, too, where we just ended up.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that.
Oh, you didn't know that?
God.
What?
I thought it was friends.
I can't believe you didn't know
that.
No,
I didn't know that part. That's crazy.
Yeah. See, yeah, we both almost didn't go.
Hey, Bitcoin Nova Podcast. Cheers.
That's what she said.
Oh, my God. And you have to, that's what
All right, so back to your question that you wanted to... To ask
what before. Was I asking? Oh, I was asking about how it was being around me when I started to learn about Bitcoin.
I think I was the first. Right. So when we first both started learning about it, and you kind of took more to the information than I did. And I always tell everybody that I'm jealous of Stacy because her mind hasn't been polluted with all the education and all the stuff that I've gone through my whole life where
I never knew this about you either. That you.
Were yeah. So, I mean, when I have my master's degree and I have a master's degree plus and all that stuff, education, you know, I'm pretty smart, you know, it's not a joke, you know, everybody knows it, but, no, I'm just joking.
Cum laude.
But, yeah. Cum laude. Anyways, I made it, Mom. So, yeah. So I've taken so much schooling, you know, and when I think that people that take too much schooling, it's almost like hindering your growth. You know, you're not able to use your, be creative and all that stuff, you know, and it, that's something my music has allowed me to do is be creative, you know? So I always say Stacy didn't have to go through all that. She already had a plan in life. Her mom and herself had a hair salon. So she pretty much knew early on that that was going to be her thing. So now her, all that brain that she could be using, she's using on studying Bitcoin and able to absorb the information and able to really, really understand it. Eugene and I are like lower tier when it comes to understanding it. You obviously, you get it, you know, and you get it. And that's great because you get it for all of us. Mm-hmm. So when you and your cousin were talking about it early on, you were absorbing more of the information than I was. And I'm like, all right, I'll let you have this. I'll go back to just joking around with people and talking to people and hanging out, you know, and being
sending funny videos all day. George and Eugene, they keep me grounded because I get super like, they're really like, they're funny. They're just very charismatic. They're very, obvious. I don't know. We go places together. I go to eat with them and they're talking to the wait staff and all of a sudden they crack a joke and they're going and bringing all their friends over to the table to meet them because they're just the best guys ever, you know? So they're like, you got to meet these guys, they're so awesome. So they're just like these kind of guys that are just very, very, very charismatic and very likable. So
magnetic.
It's, like you guys,
it's magnetized.
Magnetism.
You know,
yes.
you put good feelings out into the world and you're going to draw people in. I'm not throwing my money at people. I'm not doing other things, but people want to be seen and people want to be talked to as normal people. I worked in my family's restaurant for 12 plus years. And, when somebody would sit at the table and talk to me, like I was a human, it would kind of let me take a deep breath and enjoy my job. But when somebody just kind of shouts orders at you and tells you, this is what I need and doesn't say thank you or please or anything, you know, it's demeaning. So Eugene and I are both the same. We're always going to be the people that say thank you when somebody opens the door for us, or we're going to open the door for the people without thinking about it because that's how
we're. You're not flashy and you're not boastful. You're not like the type of person that has to show off to get attention. You just make people feel good and make them laugh. And it's really special how you guys just both have that same, like, you're like, people think you're brothers sometimes just because you're so much alike, you know?
They think we're brothers all the time.
Yeah, all the time. All the time. It was funny, actually, at Angelina's baptism, there's we were walking out of the church. This lady's like, "Oh, are you George's older brother?" And I was like, "No." I'm like,
yeah. She's like, older than me.
She, I know, right? I'm like, "No, she." I'm like, "We're just best friends." And she's like, "God, you guys look alike." It was just so crazy, and we get that all the time. But it's that, you know, that European, Western European.
Yeah. So back to the subject that you were saying about when you first started telling us about it. So yeah, when Charlie and you were talking about it, and you were understanding, and we started being like, "Okay, let's start looking into this and start putting our money into a place that we can hopefully watch it grow, you know, early on," because we didn't really know too much about it. But the more and more you studied it and more you talked to me about it, the more I started understanding it and the more I started realizing that it was a good option.
Obviously. So for me, I like to kind of mention too, like, so I'm a little bit of a conspiracy theorist at heart.
Yeah.
But so
you're
back in, like,
Bitcoin anarchist.
Back in, I want to say like 2008. Well, right around like after Bitcoin kind of launched, right? Like it was like late, or I don't know. Like
Stacey could tell you.
It was way after. Actually, it was like a couple years after Bitcoin started. To be honest with you.
Wait, so 2008 was it the when it started? So
right. So it was probably like 2010, 2011. I fell into like this really deep rabbit hole. With it was my ex-wife's brother-in-law, and we both were like, we were just watching all this like crazy like conspiracy theorist videos, and one of the things that came up in these videos that we were watching was it was about Bitcoin and cryptocurrency, but mainly Bitcoin. And this person was just like dogging it really hard, like just talking about how it's like it's going to be like the new world order and blah blah blah, and it's, you know, like all this like just like doom and, you know, gloom kind of stuff. And so it's funny because I remember, maybe someone could fact check this or whatever, but I remember there was a time where I want to say it was Papa John's was actually giving out rewards in Bitcoin.
Oh no, I don't remember that. Yeah.
So I'm this sure was like,
well, I mean, Papa John's is the famous,
right? That whole Bitcoin thing. But there was a time where Papa John's was like they were giving you like Bitcoin as like a, like as a reward program
for ordering, kind
of, for like ordering or whatever. Like, yeah, it was something weird like that. And
I never knew that either.
Huh?
We never talked about this.
No, right. I remember seeing this and like,
we thought,
yeah, I guess I'm sorry, guys. No, but yeah, it was crazy. I just remember that. And I remember like, you know, just like how, you know, like Bitcoin was something that like came in and out of my life in a weird, like weird moments. And it was something that has always been like kind of in the, somewhere in the background, just lingering, like waiting for me to like really look into. And that's kind of when you brought it up. I remember, obviously it was after the pandemic, you know, pandemic was hard for everyone, obviously. And like, we, you know, we didn't spend a lot of time together just because of like,
the fear.
Well, the fear. And then, I was having my, parents were having medical issues and whatnot. So, but I remember when we finally, one of the first times we got together where we like hung out here, it was in May of 2021. And that's when you broke everything down to me about like the cryptocurrency space and about Bitcoin. I think what, you know, we mentioned that like Doge was like kind of what was the topic of conversation at that time when like Doge was like
it brought it to
pop culture, right? It came to the front for everyone was starting to talk
about it. It's like come for the money, stay for the revolution,
right? And so obviously like when you were telling me about all this stuff, it definitely piqued my interest because, you know, I come from, like, all of us actually come from a background of immigrant parents, or, you know, like first generation here. For me,
working.
Right. My parents, my dad came to this country when he was 33, you know, worked like every job you could think of. You know, I never was taught about how to save money or how to like invest for my future. I learned stuff here and there from school. Like, I remember in high school, I took like a business class that we talked about stocks and whatnot. But yeah, like I never know, there was never like a very formal way of like learning about this stuff unless it came from your home, right? That's why generational wealth is built, because it's something that was passed down from generation to generation, right? Mm-hmm. Well, we never had that. So for me, I also kind of lived in a scared mindset when it came to money. And that came from my, you know, I always, the story I always tell when I talk about how I got into crypto because of you, one of the things that you, well, first and foremost, you made it sound like it was easy to comprehend. The way you talk about it, that's something that I cherish so much about you, was that you made someone like me and like George, that we just like, whatever, like, you know, dumb and dumber, mm-hmm. right? You made it sound, made it
fun and funnier. You're
right. More like, no, like it's that whole thing, make it make sense, right? That yeah. whole, like, you know.
Tell it to me like I'm a kindergartner.
Right. So you made it made sense for me, right? Yeah. And so a couple things happened in that May, that time in May that you were telling me about this was, for me, was two things. One, something that stood out was a comment you made was redistribution of wealth, right? Like, this could potentially create a new, like, cycle of people that have money now, right? And that could, you know, compete with anyone else, you know, kind of thing.
It, like, and, levels the playing field.
Right, so levels the playing field, exactly.
Right now, our system just keeps everyone divided, but with Bitcoin, it's like the more people that come into the space and the people that have been in the space for a very long time, eventually they, if they sell or live off their Bitcoin, then that money, that Bitcoin gets redistributed to the rest. And, correct. You know, it just, it levels everybody like in this fair playing field where no one could steal from and all that stuff.
For
so
sure.
I think, yeah, that was definitely a moment that you've mentioned to me that really stuck with you.
Oh, it was huge. It was like, that to me was like, that was kind of like the catalyst, right? But then what made it, what took it over the notch was, I was thinking about my family history, right? Like, I thought about my grandparents, and, well, especially on my dad's side. They lived in Spain, and my grandpa had opportunities to invest in some property. He didn't because he was scared. We always joked that we could have been like the Trumps of Spain, because had he like invested into this property, it would have created definitely like a ridiculous amount of like generational wealth, right? Mm-hmm. Then fast forward to my dad comes to this country. My mom, who's my mom's side is Dominican. She had some cousins that were invested in some like bodegas or convenience stores or whatever.
Yeah.
And my dad had the opportunity to invest with them and partner up with them. And my dad got scared. He didn't. They ended up becoming wealthy. They sold off their chain of convenience stores to 7-Eleven. And now they live like kings and queens in Dominican Republic. You know what I mean? So like, I kept thinking, I'm like, I never want to make the same mistakes my parents made, right? Mm-hmm. And for me, when you,
it's
told
like
me all this,
holds you back.
Right? Like, when you told me all this stuff, I'm like, wait a minute. I'm like, this is a sign. Like, I've always been told that if I was given an opportunity to do something that could potentially, you know, change my life in a very dramatic way, like, why not, right? I know that, you know, people think it's a gamble and this and that. Anything's a gamble. Obviously, everything in life is a gamble, I feel like.
I mean, even the stock market's
right,
a gamble.
Exactly.
It's like everything used to right. It used to be, oh, put your money in the bank, it's going to grow.
Right, for sure.
Now you look at it, and it's like, it doesn't do shit. It doesn't increase anything anymore. It's like,
100%.
It's almost like you're losing money by protecting your money,
exactly.
You know, by
yeah,
putting it in the bank.
For the percentage they give you in interest in the bank, you're not beating inflation by a lot. Like,
right.
Inflation is going way faster than what anything you're earning off keeping it in the bank. So
for
saving
sure.
money doesn't work anymore. And that's something that Bitcoin teaches you, is how to save money. And it's not because Bitcoin goes up in value. I learned this recently. I saw someone post a chart that I thought was really cool. So it's not because Bitcoin's price is rising. Think of Bitcoin as a straight line. That's a steady straight line that never moves. But the dollar is being devalued. So it's like Bitcoin's always Bitcoin. The dollar keeps losing because it just keeps getting printed. So really, that's you learn to save money because you know that the time and energy you put into your work every day, you're putting it into a place where no one can change it. Nobody could change the code. Nobody could add more coins to the total amount of coins ever that will be created. And that's, I think, something really hard for people to understand. I don't know if you guys fully understand that part. I think you do.
For sure.
Because how and why the Bitcoin network is so strong and it's a like a shield for your wealth is something that takes time to learn and understand what it is. But it 100% is a shield and a defense for the time you spend working, where everything else is taking away from that time. So you're putting your money into a bubble that doesn't leak, like a, you know, a boat that's not leaking, and you're able to save money again. So it teaches people to save money.
Well, and I was going to say, like, one of the things that I find intriguing also about your community and the Bitcoin community in itself is the fact that you do want to share this with everyone, right? Like, you think about it, like, typically when it comes to, like, money and wealth, like, it's about selfish greed, right? Like, I want to, yeah, like, I want to make more money for me, and, like, I don't want anyone else to have it, right? And I think that's something that I feel like people also should realize when it comes to this space, is that it's, if the people were greedy people, right, you wouldn't want to share this information with anyone. You wouldn't want, because you're right, if there's a there's a finite amount of coins, right? Like, there's going to be an end to how many coins are going to be made. Like, why would you be like, oh, why would you want to share that information with anyone? Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, that's, and I think that that's what's kind of interesting about it, is that, like, had it, you know, if it was a different kind of concept, you'd be like, no, I don't want, you know, like, what's his name? Mm-hmm. Spiegel or Smeagol from Lord of the Rings. Yeah, yeah. Like, you know, keep it all to myself, my precious, yes, you know? Like, then that's kind of cool that you know, you guys have that. Like, you guys, it's not that you guys don't want people to know about it. It's like, you do want people to know about it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that's kind of impressive when it comes down, especially when it comes to, like, that it's something that brings value. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I think it's the way that Saylor said it one day. I thought it was a really good way. He was trying to explain it in a sports way. Mm-hmm. And it was so true, because he said that Satoshi gave us a game we can all win.
That's crazy.
So when everyone joins this game, it's like, it's not a game where there's a winner or a loser, like anybody, your friends, your enemies, whoever comes in, it's something for everybody to do better off of and keep your money somewhere where no government, nobody can alter it. And I think that if George wants to go next, but I have, if you have something to say about this, but I just wanted to talk also about how I really got orange-pilled, I guess. My journey was, again, for my cousin. My cousin was the one who would talk to me about it, but not a lot. He would randomly bring it up to me. I don't remember. I randomly heard a whisper about Bitcoin in the past, and I think I almost feel like Eugene did, and I feel like I haven't thought about this in years. So I'm glad you brought that up when you said that you saw that conspiracy stuff, because I did feel that way when I first heard whispers of Bitcoin years before I actually understood it. I think that scared me because I am a religious or spiritual person, spiritual more than anything, but I believe in something bigger than us. And I think that when I heard stuff about that, almost like doomsday thing, saying about like the one world currency and one world, new world order and all these things, I used to hear like, oh my gosh, is that coin that's going to be the new world order, the one world currency that's going to just take over the world? It's like, it almost had that evil like feeling in my brain. You know, I was like, I don't know about that. That sounds crazy, you know? And then the more I learned about Bitcoin, I realized that that is completely opposite than anything I had fear in my mind about, because everything Bitcoin stands for is for truth and transparency and level playing field. So there's no, you know, rich 1% of the people that control the rest. Like right now we have this government that's been, not just our government, all world governments. Anytime there's men or women in charge, humanity is greedy and humanity finds a way to steal and to cheat, because that's just human nature.
Sure.
And the fiat system is really that evil, you know, layer that we have in society, where Bitcoin is the truth. Bitcoin is transparent for everyone to see. It's corruption free. You know, you cannot manipulate it. And again, it takes time to understand that part of it. And I could take time to teach anybody who wants to know about that.
When you say fiat, can you explain to your viewers
so fiat, what fiat anyone, is? Yeah, when I first started learning about this too, I didn't know that fiat just means all man-made currency, like really all currency that is out there right now, all global currency. So Bitcoin is Bitcoin, fiat is all traditional currency right now. So it's just manipulated by humankind, and it's filled with greed. And if there were to be a controlled, like, I think spiritually currency is free will, or I'm sorry, spiritually you have free will. But when you think about the idea of that fear-based one world currency, new world order type idea, that would be something that's controlling you, and you don't have a way, you don't have freedom. Like, you are being controlled. So you lose your free will. That to me sounds anti, you know, that sounds like the evil one. So when people mention CBDCs, and they mention, like, CBDCs would be central bank digital currencies, if anyone doesn't know what that is. That's like the US dollar coming out saying we're going to create a stable coin, like a US dollar currency, or Russia having their own, or China having their own. So if every country ends up having their own dollar version of a currency, but they tell you where and when you can spend it, like, let's say there comes a time where we have universal basic income in the future with the advances in technology, people will receive currency from their governments, but then the government can program it and say to you, okay, you can spend it this month, but after that, it's gone. You know, so you can't say, you can just, pretty much it's programmed money. And
still controlled.
Restriction,
yeah, it takes,
right?
away, it takes away your free will. So if there were to be currencies like that, I think those would be the ones that take away free will, which are the scary ones. So Bitcoin gives you this freedom.
I think people are not really accepting of Bitcoin, at least at first, and now that they're seeing it's out there and it's not going to be avoided. I think people at first, the main thing I would always hear is it's you can't touch it.
They can't hold it. Like, why can't I hold it? I want to hold it.
I want to hold it because it's like all their credit card. What do they hold when they have a credit card? They hold a credit card. Mm-hmm. It's not like they're holding all their money that's on or the limit that's on that credit card. You know, so I think that anytime I'm sure you've run into it at the hair salon when you talk to people about it and they go, but what is it? You know, what exactly is it and why is it worth anything? It's only in the cloud or it's only on computers and it's only on, like, how do I know that it's not going to go away type thing?
Yeah. And this is what I like to say about that. When I get asked that a lot, I hear people say, what is it backed by? And Bitcoin is backed by energy. And why that's important is that all the computers in the world globally that are on this Bitcoin network that are mining Bitcoin, what that means when they mine Bitcoin is that they're confirming transactions. So that means that George, you just sent me some coins, or I sent Eugene, the entire global network of Bitcoin just confirmed that that happened. So those coins are yours. You know, the coins that Satoshi, the creator of Bitcoin, originally started this entire thing. He's anonymous for people that don't know. He created created Bitcoin. He pretty much solved a problem that was being that started from, I think, the 70s, where they started studying cryptography. So he solved this problem. He released Bitcoin in 2008. And the thing is that even his coins that were mined initially when this all began, there's a million Bitcoin sitting out there, you know, in a wallet, which a wallet consists of a password that you can only access if you have these special 24 words. So his 1 million Bitcoins, which are worth $80,000 to $100,000 a coin, right now, those coins are sitting out there as a bounty to show people that anyone who believes that this your money is not safe, your currency is not safe, it just proves by Satoshi putting his out there and never touching a coin. You know this because Bitcoin is transparent. You could look at the Bitcoin network and you could see which wallets hold the most coins. Anyone can check this at any time of day. You could see Satoshi's wallet still has a million Bitcoins that have never moved. Bitcoin's network is audited every 10 minutes. Our U.S. Pentagon hasn't been audited ever. Like, I think in the last 7 years at least, they don't know where the money is going. But Bitcoin's network is audited every 10 minutes. The money is always there. If anything were to ever move from the Satoshi wallet, the world would go insane. Like, people would be like, oh my God, Satoshi sent something out of his wallet. Like, he's alive, you know, or something. But we know that it hasn't been sent. So your money is backed by all of the computing power in the world. And if anyone wanted to attack that, they would need to attack 51% of the global computing network to change any rule on Bitcoin. And in order to do that, it would cost such an astronomical amount of money that attackers are better off just mining Bitcoin.
That's awesome.
So there's no point in attacking Bitcoin. It's too large. So it's not possible to attack it at this point. It's not worth it for anyone to attack it. And for people that think, well, what is it backed by? It's backed by all this energy. Okay, so the energy backs, it's your defense. It's your defense that nobody will come and steal it. Nobody could take Satoshi's 1 million coins. They're not going to take yours. Mm-hmm. Unless you keep it on an exchange and then you're trusting exchanges to kind of hold. But the real special part about Bitcoin is not keeping it in an exchange. The special part is having those 24 words and trusting yourself that you know you've kept them in a safe place. And you need to be your own bank at that point. That's what that is. That means that you become like Satoshi. No one can take that, whatever amount of Bitcoin you've collected. Doesn't matter what amount it is. You could put it into a hardware wallet like he did, which is really just a place that gives you your own password with 24 words.
It's just like a vault. It's like a vault that you could just
a put vault.
It in. Digital vault, right?
Yeah, and George would be great with this because his mind is ridiculous. He's got the craziest memory in the whole world because my mind is terrible. I would need to write things down, but he's got like a vault in his brain. So if anyone wanted to hold their 24 words in their brain and literally leave the country, that's the magic about Bitcoin, is you could leave the country, leave your wallet behind, doesn't matter, because it needs, you know, if someone tries to get in, they need to access it by using a numerical passcode to just get in. If they fail three times, the wallet, you know, deletes. Like, you can only get back in with those 24 words. So there's really no chance anyone's going to get in with a numerical password if they try. So you could leave it behind, leave the country, skip out, go to a new country, order a new hardware wallet, and put your same 24 words from your brain, even if you can remember them. And then you have your entire wealth back with you. So it's like you can travel the world with your money in your mind.
That's crazy.
So it's like just an insane thing to think that now if you wanted to travel the world, if there wasn't for Bitcoin and you wanted to go move to another country, you'd have to try to send your whole wealth through what? Western Union and have them take
it. Well, it's freedom, you know? Traveling to Greece for us and our family this past summer, just trading our US into euro, you know, it was a pain in the ass because it was okay, they'll give you a better exchange there, don't do it at the airport, you know. But what you're explaining with the whole wallet thing, where it's like not carrying anything with you, not being afraid of being shaken down or being mugged at the airport or on the way to your hotel because people know you have cash on you, you know. But if you don't have that cash on you and you have those 24 words and you could just transfer everything, it's so convenient, you know. It's freedom, like you always say. It's mm-hmm. definitely freeing.
Yes, and if somebody were to try to say to you, well, like, you know how somebody tries to rob a person, like they're gonna take your wallet, take your credit cards, take your cash, whatever you may have on you. They just want to take your identity or whatever information they can get about you. But if they want to rob you and take your money, they can do that. But if they want to rob you and take your Bitcoin, you know, you could just not tell them the words. And if there's literally no reason to harm a person, because if you harm them because they won't give you the words, then it's like you're still not going to win. You can't take it. Because normally if you were to try to harm a person to take their actual wallet, if they have their wallet on them, you see cash in the wallet, you want it, and they won't give it to you, well, you might just hurt this person or really damage, like kill them. I don't know if I'm supposed to say that. But, you know, if somebody wanted to do those things, they could. And they could just take it. Because they could just take what they want because they have more brute force. They have more power than you. But if you, with Bitcoin, it doesn't allow for that to happen, because if somebody were to do that to you and hurt you to get it, and it's like you still can't take it from the person. You have to maybe make a deal. You have to be like, hey, I'll give you this, you give me this. Like, you can't take Bitcoin from somebody.
Right.
So it's really unbelievable, the amazing things about it, the amazing things about Satoshi. Like, I think about that all the time. But going back to me being orange pilled, like, one thing I really think that got me started, besides realizing about that whole one world currency thing, like, that was really interesting to me when I really learned about Bitcoin, how different my idea was about it. But also, I remember around the time that my cousin was talking to me about it, I started getting into gaming. And that's another reason why I started to learn about Bitcoin, because I was trying to look for a gaming computer. And while I was learning about NVIDIA, because the computer I was looking at had a graphics card by NVIDIA in it. And I was learning about the graphics card. And I like to take deep dives in technology. I love science and tech all my life, you know, so I'm super nerding out about it and trying to figure out what's awesome about this computer and this graphics card. Like, why is it so great? So the graphics card, I realized, had a lot to do with mining. But I think that it would have been more for mining in Bitcoin back in the day, because now you need such powerful, you know, computers that are specifically made for Bitcoin mining to do it. But back in the day, everyone used to just have a PC in mine. But I learned about mining when I learned about the graphics card that I wanted in my computer, because it was teaching me about the articles that I saw come up were something to do with crypto mining. And I thought, like, why? What is this? So then I started to get more interested because it came. I was into technology and computers, and then it made me listen to my cousin more when he was talking to me about Bitcoin. And of course, everything that happened in 2020 with the stimulus checks made me wonder. The main thing was, I wondered how much of this can we get and when will it stop? And then I started to like ask those questions, and I realized there's no limit to how much can ever be created out of thin air with no backing. So those were like the main parts for me.
And no, I wanted to mention too, like the whole, like, something that you brought up too was, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, technology has always been on an up scale, right? Like, technology has never dropped, right? It's never gotten worse. It always gets better. It keeps getting better, right? And one of the things that I compared this to was, you know, people are always scared of the unknown. Obviously, I think that's why so many people were so apprehensive at first about Bitcoin and or just the cryptocurrency in general. But I always, you know, I looked throughout history, right? And like I think this is something that I brought up with you once before. But you know, I remember when Netflix started, and they're like, "There's no way Netflix is gonna make it." You know, Blockbuster's where it's at. Like, everyone's going to keep renting videos and or DVDs or whatever. Like,
it's physical, right?
Like, yeah. Like, no, you know, there's no way that like, the, you know, video stores are going to ever shut down. Well, as we all know, it's gone, right? Netflix is enormous. You know, streaming, they pretty much catapulted the streaming service era. And, you know, like, and here we are now thinking, you know, wow, like I could have invested in Netflix before and blah, 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 and this and that, you know? So it's like, for me, it's like, you got to pay attention to this because it's technology, right? Like that's what piqued my interest, right? You know, like, you know, technology never gets worse, right? It always gets better. And I don't know why we're so like apprehensive. I remember, I think you can look this up, but there's like, I remember the light bulb, when the first light bulb or whatever was like invented, there was a newspaper article that said like, "There's no way that this is going to take over candlelight."
Yeah.
You know, like, candlelight is always going to be where it's at. And right. It's, even just like that stuff, like, we're just so afraid of change. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the biggest part that I took away from this, you know?
Yeah, there's those news articles about the internet saying the internet's just a passing fad.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
You know?
Even Amazon, look at Amazon. I remember when Amazon started, they're like, "This is a joke."
It was just college books.
Right, college books, right. Yeah, like you know, no one's going to use Amazon for nothing, blah, blah, blah. Like, look at us now. We're pretty much every day using it, every single day of our lives, right? Like, it's just crazy. It's just crazy that I don't understand why, you know, we have so much proof that technology always gets better and it's always on, like, an upscale tick where, like, but we're still so apprehensive.
Well, it's our son. It was funny. He sent Stacy some videos today, a couple different videos, and Stacy sent them to me, and they're cute. But the second one had something to do with teaching. You could help me out with this, but it was what was the first example of what things look like now and how they looked before? Do you remember?
It was just, oh my gosh, it was such a good video. I feel like I wish
Pretty much, all in all, it was comparing things to now and how they looked back then. Mm-hmm. And the third thing they compared was how a classroom looks now, and it just shows a bunch of kids in desks facing forward, raising their hands, and how a classroom looked 100 years ago, and it was the exact same picture.
Right.
So they're like, so out of everything that's supposed to be, they're like, we're not preparing kids in school for the future. We're preparing them to understand the past instead of looking forward. And I think I'm fortunate, and I don't think I'd be able, I'm sorry to all the teachers out there that teach math and history. And I mean, science is great because I'm really close, even though I'm not a science teacher. I'm close to having my degree in science if I wanted it. Mm-hmm. But I think that teaching health is something that is so beneficial and important to these students. Unfortunately, a lot of the students that I teach, they're in one of the most obese areas in Chicago. It's just all fast food and all that type of stuff all around. That me teaching them what a calorie is and what a carb is and what trans fats are and saturated fats, all these things I didn't learn about ever in my life, you know, and I didn't even learn about it in high school. I had to wait till I got to college to start tapping into it. And I tell them, I'm not shy about it. I tell them they're very lucky to have me as a teacher, not to just say that I'm the best, but just because I tell it like it is. And I tell them straight up, you know, don't sweat the small stuff. I tell them the way I wish somebody would have taught me. And
I wish I had a teacher like you too.
Yeah, I mean, I wish I would have had a teacher like me. I'm the greatest. Mm-hmm. But I wish somebody would have taught me about the financing part. And that's the thing. And we've talked about it before where they say, why don't you teach a kid how to balance a checkbook? Why don't you teach a kid about loans? Why don't you teach? I have friends that have gone to college and didn't know that the loans didn't kick in until after their senior year. They had no idea that they kicked in right away. And by the time they're done, instead of owing $100,000, now they owe $125,000 for their four-year education. You know, it's bullshit because we're not teaching kids to be thinkers. We're teaching them to be good employees. Mm-hmm. And we're like, teaching them to be kind of slaves to the boss.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, and I say this a lot, and no offense to any history teachers out there. I think history is amazing. I know that, you know, it's important, so we don't repeat history, unfortunately. Anyways, but...
Keep your mind.
I always say that Sacagawea never helped me pay my bills. Like, learning about Sacagawea and Lois and Clark and... which I think is great. I'm not knocking it. Or like learning a degree of a triangle hasn't helped me, you know, balance my checkbook or pay my bills on time. Do you know what I mean? Like, I know that there's certain things that should be taught for
certain. And then to punish you if you're not the best.
No, I know.
And then to say like, oh, you shouldn't go on to lead a better life because you didn't do well at this point, or you can't talk about Sacagawea.
Right,
It's like, who cares about
Sacagawea? No, you know, shout out to Sacagawea. I know she was the real... But
shared all our ancestors. We're not dogging her.
I fucking love what she did. She was awesome.
She was the OG.
She was ahead of her time. But no, but for me, I feel like I'm never once has that had to, like, you know, some of the things I learned, you know, in elementary school, junior high, and high school, I really haven't applied to in my adult life. And not to say that there's people like, obviously, like,
An accountant needs the math that they're going to learn.
Like, if I'm going to be, if I'm going to build houses, of course I need to know the degree of a triangle, right?
Right.
Like, I know all this stuff, right? Like, but I feel like we need to do a better job when it comes to, like, not, I don't want to say weeding out those kids and putting them into those paths, but like,
how about giving them more freedom to choose what path they want?
Right, right. Like, what they're more, obviously, if you're super smart, we're going to keep you in that path, right? Yeah. But like, if you're just going to be our average Joe, like myself, like, all I have is 30 college credit hours. Like, I always joke about that. But, like, for me, like, I wish in high school they would have put me in, like, a path of, like, how are you going to be a better human when you become an adult? You know what I mean? Like, let's put you on a path that's going to be, like, you're going to actually contribute to this world, not just, like, sit around and try to figure out what you're going to do and then wake up one day 41 years old trying to figure out, like, oh my God, like, why didn't I do certain investments or whatever the case may be? Do you know what I mean? Like, that's the thing that, once again, I'm not knocking our educational system. I just feel like we could be doing things different, you know? And obviously you're in it. So you have firsthand experience, right?
I just think the education system is, I mean, it's a business, you know, they're teaching to the test a lot of times. And I talk to my fellow teachers and it's not their fault. They want to teach their kids but their hands are tied.
Of course.
You know, our hands are tied and somebody higher up, like always, is always going to control it.
Right.
You know, so it's like, hey, do you want a job? Then you're going to teach what we want you to teach.
For sure.
You know,
that's
and I'm fortunate.
A lot of Bitcoiners homeschool.
Homeschool. Yeah, that's that. I mean, if we had that option, you know, if it didn't take a two parent to raise a family of five, you know, that would definitely be an option. You know, I would love to homeschool our kids. I think I we always talk to parents that are like, oh, we're sending our kids to basketball camp and we're sending them to this camp and we're sending them to that camp. Awesome. But I know about basketball. I could teach my kids one-on-one more than these $300 camps for 2 days can teach them. You know,
remember when you taught me how to shoot in like 1 hour?
Yeah. Like, I taught Stacy how to shoot a basketball and she was out shooting our basketball son. That's a really good player because what did she do? She listened and I broke it down into a way that she would understand.
We listen,
I watched her and I
don't judge. We listen, don't judge.
Exactly. but yeah, I mean, I think that teachers need to teach what they need to teach. And in my case, I teach what the kids need to know.
100%. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that, like even what Christian sent, he sent two videos today. So that first one was about how schools haven't changed in 100 years. And, the other video he sent was Neil deGrasse Tyson. And he, I always say that Christian, our middle son, is so much like me because, video he sent was him talking about how he loved, like Neil deGrasse Tyson was saying how he loved, you know, astrology, and he loved, you know, space, and he loved all these things when he was a kid. And when the teachers asked him, what do you want to be when you grow up? He said, I want to be an astrophysicist. And they were like, why don't you pick something a little bit, you know, more realistic? Like, you know, why would you want to pick that? And he's like, I love to walk dogs. He was like, you know, I love to just study and make things. And I had some kind of thing that he was like creating stuff at his home. And he goes, none of that stuff mattered on my tests. You know, I did all these things that none of that was counted on my test. But it was like, this is what I was passionate about. And this is like, he's like, I was 9 years old studying about like science and about like, you know, space. And that's exactly how our son is. Like, he loves all that stuff. And I feel like he gets bored being stuck in a box that he's put in. And that's what I love about George as a teacher, because he is not, your typical, sorry for all the teachers out there, but he's not like a math room, classroom, like math, history teacher, that type of thing. But he is teaching about, like, you know, when, like, the physical education part of it is so important because it's part of our mental health too. So, and it teaches, it's not that whole, like, putting him in a box teaching. It's teaching him something that's super important in our lives that I feel like this fiat system has us neglecting so much. Like, so many people neglect their health because they don't have the time, because their time is getting robbed from them. The money is being debased and they have to spend the same amount of time working for less money and they don't have the time to take care of themselves. So this fiat system is robbing people of being able to have mental health and have physical strength as they get older. You know, it's like, it's a terrible, terrible thing. And that's what George is trying to teach these kids about calories, about nutrition that they have no idea about. But also teaching them about exercises, and he's helping me with my exercises, and I'm so grateful. And I've been doing my proof of work with my little 30-day workout challenge that I started, and I feel like I'm getting stronger. So it's like, you motivate people, and you're motivating me, and it's helping me mentally. And proof of work is exactly the same thing. That's what Bitcoin is, and that's why a lot of Bitcoin people love to show that their proof of work is either by working to buy more Bitcoin or working to improve their health because they believe in a better future and they don't want to destroy their bodies or their minds because that day is coming and we want to be here to enjoy it and live our life in a way where we can, you know, have good relationships with people, have fun with people. Life should be fun. It shouldn't be, you know, slavery. So that's what it feels like.
Well, yeah, that's definitely the thing with the money. And you were saying that people say they don't have time. Eugene, when he was doing his 1 hour programs, they would always remind him, an hour of your day is only 4% of your day. Mm-hmm. You know, and you have 100% of your day to do something, and 4% of your day, if you care enough about yourself, then you can take 4% of your day, 1 hour out of your day, and work out. Whether it be walking, whether it be lifting weights, whether it be doing something fun and moving around. But I think that since everybody's so scared about the dollar, scared where the next dollar is going to come from and whether they're making enough money, you know, I think that everybody's so stressed out and overworked and slaves to the dollar that when they come home, they don't want to think about anything else but sitting down and relaxing their minds. And they have to understand, and I teach my kids that relaxing your minds by exercising is like better than any drug. They say it's like, you know, it's the best release of stress, and stress is the number one killer in the world, you know. And to be stressed out and to work your whole life till 60 something years old and then maybe live 10 years if you're lucky.
Oh, shit.
After you're done working, what the fuck's the point? Exactly. Why do you work so long and work so hard and please everybody else just to live 10 years when your body probably isn't capable of doing everything that you should have done already and wait till you're retired? You know, it's not the right way. You need to not live like that. You're not to live scared and not to care. I think everybody that cares about money so much just cares about everybody else, showing everybody else what they can buy, showing everybody else what they could have. That's why I hate the internet. And I always joke around that I fault you for making me get my first smartphone back in the day, back in 2008 or so, whatever, maybe even before. Because I'm like, all these things on your smartphone just waste your time and make you so unmotivated to do things. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's like, great, if you're going to be on X and be able to motivate each other, you're doing something good. But scrolling through TikTok for 3 hours and getting nothing out of it is the biggest waste of time and the worst thing you could do for yourself, and especially for these kids that can't have their attention held.
And I know that you do say it all the time, like, oh, I've always been into technology. So when these iPhones came out, I was like, we should get an iPhone instead of these basic flip phones. I remember you saying that, like, oh, I wish we didn't have these. It's like, you know, I feel like we're looking at our phones a lot. I get that. But it's also one of those things where, yes, we cannot escape the future. We can't escape technology. We can't just not do what, you know, we can't just hide under a rock, you know. But the thing that we can do is, yes, if you're going to spend your time online, spend it in a way that's going to help you grow instead of just keeping you down. Like, you don't want to be stuck in a cage. You don't want to be stuck unmotivated. Like, yeah, you can scroll through TikToks all day long, but it's like, if you have creativity and you have, you know, you care about other people's thoughts. That's why I love X, because it's not just scrolling through. I like the random funny things, you know, but I love to have my mind engaged and I like to be inspired. So I love to be inspired by other people's thoughts and ideas. And that's what Bitcoin X does to me, all the people on there. But I love George for his, and Eugene, both of you, for you guys ground me. Like, I feel like I can get so into my thoughts. I can get so into the, you know, I really, and it's a good thing. I love that my mind goes and I think about all these crazy things that I think people would think I'm insane. But then I found a group of people on X that totally, I could say anything that I'm thinking. They know what I'm talking about. They understand the things I'm studying and what I've learned about. They get me. But
and that's the great part about technology, because before technology, you'd be that crazy person that's only into that. And how many times growing up was there always that kid that everybody looked at as being a little weird because he liked to do a certain thing? And now it's like fast forward, like 21 Jump Street, where like the nerds are the popular kids and the kids that are assholes are not the popular kids anymore, you know? So it's like, that's great for the internet. It's great for your communities and our, because I'm part of them also on X. Mm-hmm. It's great for everybody to show as much support as they're showing, because, I mean, people are in Germany. People are wherever they are. They're spread out around the whole world. And how cool can it be to not feel alone and feel like other people get you? It's a great feeling.
100%. Yeah.
And I love how you guys just, you know, when I do need to just take a break, you guys bring me back to reality. That whole touch grass, you know, saying that they say, like, I gotta go. Oh, it did? Oh, okay. No, it's fine. I'll clip that part out. I'll mark it. For a second, I thought George was sleeping because it was frozen when you were like this. I was like, is he sleeping mid-sentence? I'm like, what the hell's going on?
That could be on the outtakes.
Outtakes.
Yeah.
So anyways.
So I was just saying
about touching grass.
I was saying about how you guys bring me back to reality. You get me to laugh. You get me to joke around. You make, you know, you just bring that side out in me where I just love to, you crack me up. I mean, you're just too funny and you just bring me back to the real world. You know,
well, you're putting in work, right?
Yeah.
You're putting in work right now and you're building a community and everything's going the way it should be going. And then you'll reap the benefits when it's time to reap the benefits, but you're putting in work.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Well, and that's the other thing. Like when I had an experience a couple weeks ago, not long ago at all, but we were building these communities, we were getting all these connections, and all of a sudden my ex page got deleted. I was suspended, and it said I was suspended permanently. And I try not to freak out because I feel like Bitcoiners are stronger than that. I'm not going to just have a panic attack. I'm not going to freak out. You know, I'm like, okay, that sucks. Like, I tried getting monetized on X and now I felt like I was about halfway through and then I got booted. So I'm like, all right, well, the thing I cared about most was I couldn't talk to my friends anymore because I was in this group chat with everybody and now they're wondering where's Stacy probably at right now and I'm gone, you know? So luckily George was in the group chat and he was sending me screenshots and told them that I got suspended. So they knew what was going on. I created an alternate account where I was starting over and it was terrible, but I also was like, well, it happened, you know, that sucks. That's the way things go. You know, I'm not going to like let it take me down. But I was just more grateful to have George there to support me, Eugene, and all my friends on X were just sticking by my side. They were all trying to share my stuff to get everyone to follow my new account. And they were outraged that that happened to me. And, so I tried appealing it and I got denied. So it was like, okay, this is a sure thing. I'm keeping this alternate account and starting over. But then the Paranoid Bitcoin Anarchist page wasn't able to, like, nobody could join after that because I was the only admin and there was no way to get a new admin. I still don't know how to add a second admin, if anyone knows how to help me with that. But I just, it was stuck. It was like in a frozen place and I felt like this community that I built is now going to just be stagnant. But then they were all posting in there saying, we're not going to let it die. We're going to keep posting in there. And it was just making me feel very, like, emotional all day. And then everybody was just being so kind to me that when George came home, even though I wasn't freaking out about the account, when he came home, he asked, how was everybody? Like, what did everyone say today? And I was telling him all the nice things that everybody was telling me, and I just broke down crying. I just couldn't take it. I just all of a sudden just started bawling. And I'm like, they're just so nice. They care so much. I'm like, you know, everyone's just, like, sticking by me and, like, helping me out. I'm like, how is this possible? Like, how is everyone so nice, you know? After years of being on X and having nobody, you know, nobody care. It's like you show people in real life the same way as you do in these communities that that they matter. You know, it's like you can, you know, just help out a friend. You know, you can just help out your kids, listen to them more. You know, sometimes you take your kids for granted. They're running up to you telling you 100 things and you're like, okay, be quiet. But give people attention. You know, it's like they remember that stuff, you know, so it means a lot.
Everyone wants to be heard. I think that's what it really boils down to, you know? Everyone wants to be heard, and I think that's the most important part, is be willing to listen. And I think that's in today's climate, sometimes it's hard for people to listen to other people's opinions. But
because everybody wants to be right by nature, right?
Of course. Mm-hmm. And so, like, but you have to be able to, you know, listen and process, you know? Like, that's I think that's the biggest part, too. I think a lot of times people are talking, and that I've seen this, and I've maybe been like victim or an offender of it too, but like, you know, when you're talking, you're having a conversation with someone and like you're like waiting to say something, you know, like so you're not listening to what that person's saying because that's, you're like, oh my god, I got this on deck, I need to tell them, you know, like and it's hard, and I think that's, you're right, like it's a lot of it is because of, you know, in society we're on a constant go rush that sometimes it's nice to just take a minute, you know, and like you said, get grounded, touch grass.
Well, that has to do with a lot of the technology too, right? Mm-hmm. It's instant gratification and everything's always 100%. At the touch of your fingertips. But before, we didn't have smartphones when we first met. We would actually sit there and talk to each other without having the distraction. We would have a text message go off every once in a while, but that was it.
Right.
You know, so for people to actually be able to sit down across from each other and have nothing as a distraction, it's pretty cool.
It is. 100%.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Look at us, an hour and 7 minutes.
Oh my god.
I know, we're doing great. You guys, this is so amazing. Is there anything else you guys want to talk about?
I think we
No. We just are we're both very proud of you. Yeah. We're both very proud of you, and we know that this podcast is gonna do very well, not just because
we're on it, but
we're on it, yeah. I mean,
obviously
who could have gotten better first guests, right?
Most views.
But but I think that your training in being a hairstylist all these years and now having a new passion with this also, I mean, it's a good combination. And I think that people are instantly magnetized to you and your energy and your understanding and your caring, because you just don't do this shit for yourself. It's not a selfish type thing that you're doing. You're doing it to actually educate. Spread the word and make people feel better. And I think that all three of us can agree that we all take joy in seeing other people happy.
100%.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that it's very, that's one thing that we ultimately have in common, that we're not selfish.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that to be a good podcast host and to be a good leader, I think that you're going to do great because you're not a selfish person and you're not doing this so everybody can look at you. You're doing this to spread the word and make everybody better.
100%. That's my Stacy. I've been her number one fan.
Yeah,
hype man. I'm her hype man.
Mm-hmm.
Look at these eyebrows.
I know.
She did this.
I do his eyebrows. Yes, I do their eyebrows. I do their hair. Look at the beard fade on him, haircut on him.
I always, actually, just to touch on that, like, that's why I love, I mean, obviously because you're my best friend. It's just, I look forward to those, you know, haircuts because that's when we sometimes shoot the shit and mm-hmm. we talk about stuff and... You know, you guys were there for me for a lot of hard moments in my life, and I am forever grateful for you guys. And I know, Stacy, you're also a very big part of my life, and I couldn't ask for better people in my life. You know, so I'm really, really proud of you.
Thank you.
Gonna be, like I said, I'll be your number one cheerleader and hype man always, and. All right, number two. He's number one.
Yeah,
1A, 1B.
All right, but yeah, for sure.
You've made this so great because I feel like going forward, that's why I wanted to have you guys' episode, technically the pilot episode, because this is a good way to start it off, to show not only who I am and to show, you know, the real me. When I'm around you guys, I'm just me, you know? So I just wanted to keep that going. I want this to be real. I just want to have, you know, conversations with people. And I'm so glad that you guys, you know, did this for me and with me. And
well, you've been lucky that you were on a couple podcasts so far and they've been great hosts. Yeah. And nobody wants to listen to a robotic. They want to hear to people being genuine, you know, and the two people that you were on their podcast, they were a great host. You could tell they've been doing it for a long time.
And I'm they're also awesome. Going to link and them because
I think you're going to be a natural also with it.
Thank you, honey.
You're welcome.
So I'm going to also link their pages because they were literally part of the reason, you know, George was the reason, my community, but also these two podcasts I was on. I was on Paula Iverson's The Bitcoin Edge, and I was on Robin Sayer's show, and they both made it such a great experience for me. And they made it so easy for me to talk to them, and they encouraged me to be on their show. You know, it was just, I'm so, so grateful. So it's like, without them, I wouldn't be doing this right now. So I'm thankful for the combined effort of everybody who kind of like helped bring this into reality. So it's just crazy. I still can't believe we're doing this. So thank you so much. I can't wait to do the next one. I love you guys.
Oh, we love you too. Should we plug anything before we leave? Do you want to plug anything?
No.
No. Look up the GNR Duo. We're on Facebook. I'll be the Stacy will be including my singing. No, I'm just joking. But
I can't wait to include some singing. I tried to get him to sing today. I can't wait till you sing for everybody.
It's a pilot episode. I don't want to overwhelm anybody.
I want to plug Jamón Ibérico and croquetas.
Yeah, if you want to tip Eugene for this appearance,
Jamón Ibérico, Spanish tapas,
some olive oil, alioli.
All
right.
Thanks, guys.
We love you. So bye.
Bye. Take care.
All right.
Bye.